But I find that one of our greatest problems and one of the most besetting sins that confronts us from time to time is the neglecting of doing the things which we already know we ought to do. The things which we're going to be lost because of in the judgment day, I fear, will be the things which we've already read and been preached about time and again that we're neglecting from day to day. So today I want to, upon this Memorial Day, and in this memorial service for the Lord Jesus Christ, bring to your attention some of the things which we should be considering and seriously from day to day. I'm preaching this morning upon the thought of remembering. And you'd be surprised how many things we find in the Bible commanding us to remember. First, I would say that we should remember God in the days of our youth, because we find in Ecclesiastes, the 12th chapter, in the first verse, that in the early tender years of our life, we're commanded, remember, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. While evil days come not, nor the years gone by, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. You know, when I read this passage of Scripture, when I quote this, it introduces many thoughts to my mind. I know when I read this passage of Scripture that there in the wise man's mind was the thought of home, fathers, and mothers and children. When he said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, he was simply legislating a rule which should prevail and be so that children would have an opportunity of knowing about God and about his law and about his creation, so that they would have an opportunity to remember him in the days of their youth. I'm sorry to say there are many homes throughout this vast land of ours where the children have no opportunity to remember God whatsoever, because they've not been taught anything about God. They know nothing about God. How could they remember him? How could they know anything about him when they are being taught nothing about him? When they know nothing about him from day to day, they're being taught about everything else. They're being taught about all the movie stars. They're being taught about all the athletes of the land. They're being taught about all the great celebrities of the day. But they know less about Jesus Christ and of his apostles and of the men in the divine record of God than anything else. And how can America be a strong country when children are being brought up in such a fashion as that? How can the community be what it used to be and be what it is today? How can the church be what the church ought to be when the young people are not being taught of God as they ought to be taught? Now, brethren, that's a responsibility of parents in this respect. And while we're quoting these things, we want to drop some thoughts along from time to time. Today, we're remembering our homes, I'm sure. And I'm sure that many of us can look back with the eye of memory to homes that are the sweetest memories upon this earthly footstool of our God. Our homes. A Christian home, a godly home, is the greatest thing upon this earth. It is a prelude to heaven. It's the most divine thing of an earthly sphere that we can possibly contemplate or think anything about. Is your home like that today? Are you maintaining the kind of home that you were brought up in? Is there a Christian atmosphere about it? Is God honored and reverenced? Are the old songs of Zion heard throughout the halls of your home? Is God's word reverenced and taught and respected? Is church going a must in your home? It's a sad thing when that is not the case. And many of us today, as we're looking back in memory, these are the things that stand out most in our minds. Our parents, many of our forebears, were not wealthy people at all. And some of them were very poor. But we're happy in this thought, that we were left a wonderful heritage, at least, a Christian faith. And I tell you, better than silver and gold is this. And a boy or girl who's brought up in a godly home and has been willed, you might say, a Christian faith, he has an opportunity that's a rare one in this day. And he has a treasure that's far greater than jewels, because he has something that can endure beyond the portals of the tomb. And he has something that can benefit him in a world that's yet to come. And it's wonderful that we can look back and remember our homes as Christian homes. These are some of the things which we remember today. Long, long ago, a great man stood up and immortalized himself by taking a stand for God. It was Joshua. He stood up one time when so many people were turning away from God, turning off after the gods of the Amorites and the Amalekites and the other ites of that day. But he says, choose you this day whom you will serve, people. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And no greater decision could any father or mother reach in life than that. We shall serve the Lord. My children shall be brought up in the Lord, in the faith, in the spirit, in the truth. And only in that respect can parents do their duty. Yes, someday, no doubt in the future years, boys and girls who probably sit upon your lap today are nearby, if the Lord delays his coming that long, will be coming right out here to Napoleon Community and will be lovingly and with great care taking away the disfiguring marks from your mound right out here and placing respectfully a little bouquet there to show love and respect and fond remembrance. And as they do that, and as they stand about that silent dust and shed pensive tears for a while, what are the things that's going to be most upon their memory? Are they going to think about you and everything else except in a Christian light, in a godly vein? How will your children think of you when they gather here in the oncoming years? May you so conduct your life and may you so conduct your homes that in the memorial days yet to come, your children will rise up, as the Bible says, and call you blessed because you have been a child of God. And your seat right here in this church house will always be remembered and honored because a man of God sat there. And you shall always be remembered with fondness and with a great amount of respect in the community. Then, children, it is needful that you remember the good lessons which these old-timers have taught you too. I suspect that there are some here today whose parents taught you the truth, who led you when you were in a leading condition, who put your little feet in just the right paths at one time. But somewhere down the years, you have strayed and you wandered far, far away. Far away from mother's teachings, far away from father's prayers, far away from the things which you know is right. And I hope if you're in this audience this morning and you're in this condition, this will be the day when you will rise up and say in your heart that I'm rededicating my life to my God. And I hope that no sooner do we begin the song of invitation than you march right down this aisle this morning and make that decision known to the church and to the world. I pray that that will be your consideration. We don't only need to remember our friends, remember our homes, I'd rather remember our homes and remember our parents, but we need to remember our friends too. We have many friends of bygone years, but you know we're so busy nowadays we forget. We forget our friends. And it seems like we're living in a day when people just can't remember like they used to. I'm very interested in watching people as I tour the country from side to side. And I get a great amount of enjoyment out of watching old-timers meet and renew their acquaintance and so on and so forth. But you never let the many busy things of life take away the enjoyments which they could otherwise share if they would just remember one another. Maybe it's just a mile away that old-timer lives whom you used to know back further from you. But you're so busy with a hectic fight of life until you let days come and days go. And the distance between you grows like that. And after a while, a little item comes out in the Roanoke News, maybe, or something like that, or the Bible paper or something of the kind. So-and-so passed away this morning. And then you stand around, well, I'll say, I knew him back when, you know. I knew him so-and-so. And you then maybe go buy a big spray. You buy a big bouquet. You go out to his funeral. You wear your best suit in respect. You wear your best necktie. And you go stand with the family. That's very good. Wouldn't life be a lot happier if we had time to share it with one another and live as friends? I found this poem some time ago, and it's wonderful. Around the corner, I have a friend in this
great city that has no end. Yet days go by and weeks rush on, and before I know it, a week is gone, and I never see my old friend's face. My life is a swift and a terrible race. He knows I know he likes me just as well as in the days when I rang his bell and he rang mine. We were younger then. And now we are busy, tired men, tired with playing a foolish game, tired with trying to make a name. Tomorrow I say I'll call on Jim just to show that I'm thinking of him. But tomorrow comes, tomorrow goes, and the distance between us grows and grows. Around the corner, yet miles away. Here's a telegram, sir. Jim died today. And that's what we get and deserve in the end. Around the corner, a vanished friend. Let's remember our friends. Let's remember them from day to day. Let's rekindle our old friendships. And let's live and be happy while we live. But then there are some more serious things that I would have you remember today. Greatest of all, this is Memorial Day because this is the day that the Savior was resurrected 1900 years ago. This is the day that he came forth from the grave. And by the approved example we find in God's Word, that this is the day upon which Christians gather together to meet and break bread in memory of our Savior. We find in God's Word where Jesus has commanded this of us. Because I find in Luke 22 and 19, on that night in which Jesus was betrayed, in the city of Jerusalem, in an upper room, around the long table, the disciples and Jesus gathered. After the Passover had passed, he picked up a cup, or rather he picked up a loaf, a wafer, a piece of bread, if you please, and he says something about it. He says, "This is my body. When you eat this bread, remember it. This is a memorial. And this is Memorial Day. Every day is this Memorial Day, every Lord's Day." And then he took some fruit of the vine. And he said, "This is my blood. As often as you drink this cup and eat this bread, you do show the Lord's death till he comes again." Then he took a cup. The cup, of course, contained the fruit of the vine. The bread is the blood. Or rather, the bread is the body. And no one will disagree. The fruit of the vine is the blood. No one will disagree. The Bible says so. Matthew and Mark tell you plainly that the fruit of the vine is the blood. But then that cup, the cup, yes. Luke and Paul tells you what that is. And they tell you, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood." And when we meet together upon this day, these are the things which we remember. We have every reason to remember these things with a great degree of joy. Because in that upper room 1900 years ago, Jesus gathered with his disciples. While they were gathered around the table, they had a feeling that this was the end of an era with them, and it truly was. Jesus told them that I'm going to have to die. They knew that pretty soon there was going to be a vacant seat, and their hearts were very heavy. The heart of Jesus was very heavy also, and he gave them something to remember him by. Those simple things are so precious to those of us who love the Lord. Now I'll admit that a man who's never come to Christ and a man who's without and a man who cares not for the cause of Christ can see no significance in these simple little emblems whatsoever. To you, they're meaningless. I could take you to a little meeting house in southern Mississippi, and I could take you to a very small little headstone out in a graveyard there today, and that would be meaningless to you, too. But to me, it would not. Because across to that headstone is a word written, "Mother." I suppose the people were too poor to put one there. There never was one there till I was 21 years of age. One's there now. Because it means a lot to me to see it there. And to you today, who are children of God, this means a lot to you today. And while we break the bread, and while we drink the cup today, it truly is going to be Memorial Day with us. Next, we see in God's Word the need of remembering His Word. remembering His Word. You know, that's what causes so much trouble in the world today. We forget the Word of God. We let it leak out of our hearts. We let it slip away from us. We need to remember the words of the Lord. Acts 20 and 35, the writer said these words, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. That's what the Lord said. We need to remember it. Luke 24 and 6. The angel said to the woman, remember how He spake unto you. If we could just remember that, we would not be led into sin quite so easy. We would not transgress the law of God quite so frequently. We would be walking more circumspectly to God's blessed rule that He's laid down for us if we could just remember the words of the Lord. But like Peter did in the long, long ago, we forget. The Lord told Peter, you know, on that eventful night, which I've already mentioned, Peter, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me, Peter. You're going to deny me thrice. He had just told them that you shall all be offended in me tonight. Peter is a fellow who singled himself out from the group and said, not I, Lord. I won't be offended in you. Boastful. Boastful he was. Though they all may, Lord, I won't. Jesus then spoke directly to him and told him, Peter, why, you are the very one who's going to do it tonight. You will do it this very night. And you know, when the going got rough, when the trials came, when they apprehended the Lord in the garden and took Him away, when the disciples were gathered, or rather were scattered throughout that night, when the Lord was being led away, and you notice the expression, led, indicating that a rope was about His neck and they were leading Him as they would a beast of some kind. They led Him away. Then, after a while, Peter stood without and warmed himself around the fire. And as he warmed himself around the fire, different ones said to him, are you one of His disciples? And he said, no, I don't know the man. Another one says, you are one of His disciples. We saw you with Him. No, I don't know the man, Peter says. And after a while, another one says, you are one of His disciples. You are a Galilean, and your speech betrays you. And it was then that Peter spoke forth the most dogmatic statement of the entire night. He cursed and swore and says, I never knew Him. No sooner this happened than just outside the window, a rooster crowed. Another one answered, you might imagine. And another one answered. Oh, what memories that brought back to Peter just like that. Just like the gushing of a mighty flood, these memories rushed back to him. And about that time, the Lord was being led from one court to another. And the Bible says the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I thought so many times what a long, loving, imploring look that must have been that night. That wasn't a look, a rebuke, I don't think. That wasn't a look of anger, nor even a look of bitter correction. But I think it was just a, why did I tell you so, look. He looked at him. You know, you've done it many, many times. You and someone else in the group know of a certain matter. Something is said of it, and you immediately look at one another with an understanding look. You understand. Peter and the Lord understood that night. The Lord knew what Peter was thinking right at that moment, and the Lord looked at him. How many times does He turn and look at you and die just that way out of the windows of heaven when we are prone to err and go astray? How He would guide us with His eye, how He would bring us back again, and how He has brought us back again from time to time. Well, the Bible says this of that matter. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter, and listen, and Peter remembered the word of the Lord. Then the Bible says he went out and wept bitterly. There are so many tears that need not be shed if we could just remember the Lord's words. We could just remember the Lord's word, there would be many tears that would be needless. And really, they never would be shed. This morning, also, I would like you to remember the shortness of life. The shortness of life. Psalms 89 and 47 The psalmist here says, remember how short my time is. Something to remember. Job 7:7 says, my days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle and are spent without hope. Oh, remember that my life is as wind. I would have you on this Memorial Day, my friends, while you're remembering your friends who passed on, to remember this, that your life is as wind. I've stood in the meadows oftentimes and watched the grass give way to the impression which the wind makes upon it. The only way you could tell that the wind was passing over a grass field, a meadow, and how silently it glides across, yet how steadily and how swiftly it moves. That's life. That's life. And we are sweeping away into the great beyond. Just last year, we conducted a service like this in the year before. But there are seats vacant here today. There are those who are conspicuous today by their absence. There were those who were here looking upon me as a speaker, just as you're doing today. But they're not here today. They're in a land I trust far better than this. And they're in a place of rest and of peace and of goodwill and of joy, I trust. Which all teaches us this, that we need to remember how short our time is. If you're not prepared to meet God, I hope this morning you will take due consideration of the fact that your life is very, very brief. It's as a span. It's as a tale that is told and as a day that is short-lived. And so soon it vanishes away. Last this morning, I would have you to remember this, that memory will stay with us after death. Memory will stay with us after death. You know, that's beautiful when you look at it from one way, and that's frightening when you look at it another way. You remember, as children, we've all come up against it oftentimes. It's amazing how much can be crowded into one brief moment. I had a friend one time who almost drowned. He was going down the third time when somebody rescued him. And he tells me this. It seems like everything I ever did in my life swept before me for a moment right there. I reckon God has a way, has a hand in these things. And about that, I don't know. I had to take his word for it. I've never been in a similar experience. But I do know this. According to the teachings of God's word, the memories are going to linger with us after this life is over. And that's Bible. There's Bible for that. The things that I do are going to stay with me. You remember that preview we got of the other side when Jesus spoke of the rich man and of Lazarus? Don't you remember when Lazarus was over yonder in Abraham's bosom, so cared for, so kept, so comforted, because he needed it? Life had been a fitful dream for him. But you remember the rich man down yonder now in the pit of fire? Don't you remember that? You remember how that rich man cried out to Father Abraham and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus over here and let him dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I'm tormented in this flame. You remember the words that came forth from the lips of Father Abraham that day? I want you to think about it right now. Son, remember. Everything I've ever done in my life, it's going to be with me. Unless it's blotted out, of course. Unless it's blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away the sins of the earth. Those haunting things, those secret sins, those sins that are hidden from the eyes of men, out from their dark hiding places, they're going to march one by one like fearful skeletons and ghosts to haunt you there that day, and they're going to be paraded right up on the screen, as it were. All secret things shall be brought to light, the Bible says. The judgment day is going to be quite a day. It's going to be quite a day. That's the reason why I'm saying today that those things had better be put under the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and blotted out. Because there's just two things that can happen to sins. They're going to either be pardoned or they're going to be punished. And I recommend today that you do something about it. That you have these sins pardoned. Are you a child of God today? Have you obeyed his blessed word? If you have not, I know of really no better time than now. I would exhort you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, repent of your sins, confess your faith in his name, and be baptized for the remission of your sins. We might live a beautiful life in this world, simple and humble though it is. After a while, at the sunset of life, there will be just enough clouds in our life to make a beautiful and perfect sunset for us. When our sun goes down, when we make our exit from this earthly stage of action. The only way that can be done, my friends, is to become personally acquainted with Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. And I'm wondering this morning, do you know him? Have you met him yet? Have you become acquainted with him? Have you placed your hand in his? Have you obeyed him? Do you heed his voice? Do you walk at his command? If not, do that this morning. I hope there are boys and girls, men and women, in this wonderful audience this morning, who will make this day forever a wonderful day in my mind and in the mind of God and of all people present by walking right down this aisle and taking a stand for God and for truth and for right this very day. Do you know Jesus? If not, make his acquaintance today, now, while we stand and while we sing.